Good morning.
Good morning.
I was late today.
Were you riding the bike?
No. Well, I rode a Bergen city bike thing.
Oh. How is that?
Well, it's a bit shorter from the bus station to the office, at least.
Are they very heavy?
No, they are actually quite comfortable. They have more cushion in their seats, I guess.
More cushion than what?
My bike.
You know, it's possible to upgrade a saddle.
Yeah, I know. I haven't cycled enough to justify spending more money on the thing yet, I think.
You cycle like probably close to 100 kilometers a week, and that doesn't qualify as enough.
Well, it's not about the miles, it's about the habit, right?
It's not the not the years, honey, it's the mileage.
Word. And the first thing I would buy is not a new saddle, but perhaps one of those fancy, stereo things. Because the part that you sort of hold on.
The handlebars?
The handlebars. Yeah, so I have the straight, regular handlebars, but you can get them fancier, right?
Right. So I have thought about this myself.
On your hipster OneDrive, whatever it was, cycle?
Yeah. I have what I guess is the same problem as you. Is it like they're very kind of narrow, straight handlebars, and after a while there's nowhere else to put your hands and you get tired hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are two possibilities, and I just realized, as the same thing as with carpeting, in the cycle world, there are all sorts of these words I don't know, even in Norwegian. What would the kind of handlebar be that you sort of, where you can hold your sort of hands under the thing?
Okay, drop handlebars.
Drop handlebars.
Yeah.
Okay, and the kind where you attach this device on the thing?
Oh, like at the horns at the end?
No, not that. On sort of the middle of the handlebar.
What? I have no idea what that is. Send me a picture.
A bar, perhaps. Let's see. Cycle. This would require me browsing a bit, I guess, but...
Or the video could just freeze.
Well, is this what people tuned in for? You know how we are in 2017, and the technology have finally become reliable.
It could be better.
I haven't found the thing. But if you have a straight handlebar and you can buy this sort of bar to attach on the bar, so you can sort of lean forth and rest on it.
Oh, but it's not like horns at the end. You're not like adding in a little extra bit.
No.
It's more kind of... It's not like the exercise bikes you get at the gym. I'm struggling without either hand gestures or pictures.
Perhaps. Are there listeners now shouting at their podcast devices?
I bet there are. I know a few like to cycle, so somebody come to our rescue. What is this stuff called in English or Norwegian? What's it called in Norwegian?
I don't know. So this is why I struggle to find it. And also, Googling and podcasting at the same time can be challenging on a Monday morning.
We're asking a lot of you. It's fine. I'm sorry you had a point in telling me that you we went down a psychopath, I guess. Very quickly.
What I did find was this wonderful handlebar field guide. But this is
link right now.
Yeah. This is cover art.
Oh, that's great.
It isn't on this one either.
Hmm.
Oh, there we have it.
The plot thickens. This is like...
That's a bit of an anticlimax.
Mustaches or something.
Rest handlebar.
Yeah, you're right. That is very anticlimactic. There's got to be a better... Even like lazy bar TM would be better than that. I'm waiting for the page to load. The anticipation is fierce. Oh dear God, that's ugly. Really?
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I mean, I get it, but yikes.
But it's the cheapest option, obviously.
Mm. Mm. Obviously.
Because you don't
yeah.
have to change the gears and the wires and so on.
Oh, you kids with your gears, making everything so difficult to alter on the bicycle. Bless you. Anyway. Was that the open? I guess that was the open.
That was the open. So happy birthday, or happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Why did you give me such a hard time about this? So, like, background, last time we recorded an episode, it was my birthday, and I didn't mention it. And you were all like, what? Why didn't you mention it?
So, in many cultures around the world, the date of when you were born tends to be an event of some significance.
When it's your birthday, do you go around telling people that it's your birthday?
Well, I have prepared so that people know without me having to tell them.
I know, it's on your Twitter bio, right? And I assume there's like alerts going off all over Facebook or whatever.
I think Facebook is mainly the one, but...
Hmm.
I also have a very binary birthday date thing going on, so it's easy to remember.
With the exception of the year...
Yeah, I guess so.
You need to go back 1,000 years, Odd.
But, this was the year of Aha. Aha's hit Take On Me. And Norway won the Eurovision contest. And what other things happened in 85?
I started high school.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess when you're growing older, I guess the birthday is something some people tend to have a ambivalent relationship with, because it has become a day of excitement and gifts and so on, to a day of existential crisis. Or...
Oh, I don't think I had one of those. Shit. I have?
That's the rest of the days, right?
Every other day, yep. Nah. I don't know, is that a very delicate way of asking me if I'm kind of, like, feeling my age or...
I don't know about delicate, but,
Well, diplomatic. Or you mean, am I delicate? I'm frail now, I'm old and frail. I don't know, like, the older you get, the less of a thing it is, I guess, because, like, you know, life goes on where it goes on, not everything stops and people, you know, sing and give you a cake and, you know, all that. I mean, you can make it like that, but I don't know, it's, like, less of a thing.
But when we think about it, it should become more of a thing. It should become, oh, I'm still alive day.
Hey, fuck you, I'm not that old.
No, but when you're a child, it's expected, God willing, that you are alive. It should be less of a day. We should turn it around. We should allocate all the resources that we give to these ungrateful children and give them to grown-ups.
I have not yet reached the advanced age of, oh my God, I made it, another 365 days.
Well, we begin when in your 20s, I guess.
I guess.
If you're alive in your 20s, that's quite an achievement.
I think these days, perhaps less so. Well, depending on which country you grow up in, to be fair. Sorry, a whole sidebar about like life expectancy in some countries, which is just dismally low. What was I going to say? Yeah, I don't know. I do not habitually go around and tell people it's my birthday. If nobody had mentioned it, my boss mentioned it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said anything.
How did he know?
He had it marked off in his calendar. Presumably, when he became my boss, he put a thing in the calendar to know that. Because a nice thing that we do for everybody is, like, in Slack, if it's your birthday, someone will say, and then everybody piles on with emoji and, you know, birthday wishes. It's sweet.
How much of a thing is birthdays in the UK? And I ask this because in Germany, birthdays seems to be somewhat of important thing.
At least, like how?
At least that, well, they tend to like to sort of mark it. Well, it seems from my German friends, at least.
In the UK, in an office, if you work with people, it's quite common, actually, to bring cake on your own birthday. And to go, it's my birthday, cake is on me. I don't remember if I've ever done that or not. Maybe. But yeah, it's a thing that some people do.
Because that's kind of a subtle way to announce that...
Right.
You have this still alive day.
That's a little bit, yeah, that's maybe a little bit much for me. I like buying people cake. I don't need it to be my birthday to do that. Or baking people cake. How much is it here? Like, I've been in a meeting here before where it was somebody's birthday that day, and so everybody stopped and sang happy birthday, which is not the same as happy birthday in English, which I still think is awesome. The fact that the happy birthday song is completely different here. It's not just different words, but it's like a whole different tune. It's a whole different thing. I think we've probably mentioned that before, but I still think it's cool. It is also the number one earworm for me. Like, if I get that in my head, that just goes around for, like, 3 days.
Is this the Hurra for Deg song?
Yeah.
Because we have more than one.
Not content with having multiple national anthems, now you're telling me you have multiple happy birthday songs. Do you have, like, the British version as well?
Yeah, we have.
I've never heard anyone sing it here. It's always Hurra for Deg.
It's more catchy, I guess.
Which one?
I don't remember the words. I think it's something like Gratulerer med dagen, Gratulerer med dagen. I don't know, repeatedly.
That doesn't scan. That's terrible.
I think we have even more birthday songs, actually.
Well, now you're just showing off.
We're a great nation of birthday / still alive songs, including Still Alive.
I would like to nominate the Bee Gees' Staying Alive as the new Norwegian happy birthday song.
And this marks my point. I have some cultural, historical roots for my thesis that it should be Hooray, I'm Still Alive Day, because Ja, må han leve, ja, må han leve, ja, må han ut I 100 år, og så videre. So there's a song, it's not common that much anymore. Perhaps this was from the time that it was indeed an achievement to be still alive. at your birthday.
It sounds like Waltzing Matilda.
Like Tom Waits.
Did he cover it? Okay.
That's where I know it, but.
Okay. Traditional Australian, right?
Hmm.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Anywho.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine, it was my birthday. I own it. Okay.
Next year.
Next year. You'll get me next year. Yeah.
But not to... Well, because as we have mentioned several times, you are not on Facebook.
That has come up before.
Yeah, and Facebook is now the infrastructure in our society for congratulating each other and remember or slash don't not remember birthdays.
Right. Do you think it's certainly easier, like with things like social media, it's certainly easier to go, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday. Like Skype does that as well still. Does it make it any less heartfelt that you have like a thing, an alert that goes off and you go, oh, I should like poke them or send an emoji or whatever? Is it like less organic than actually remembering or having set your own personal reminder?
Yes.
Well,
I often find myself not writing on the person's wall because it feels like obligatory or something.
Right.
But on the flip side, it is very fun to have those messages popping up on your wall on your birthday, even though you kind of know that. Yeah, but...
But then it has to be reciprocal, otherwise you're just that asshole who, like, never says happy birthday.
People don't notice, I think. I hope. Because there are so many messages.
Right.
But before I tended to try to be creative, sort of not just putting in congratulations, but having a sort of a twist. And when I felt inspired, I tried to find a video on YouTube, like a birthday song that reflected the person's personality.
That's cute.
So yeah. And for some reason, I ended up, and this tells perhaps something about my acquaintances, but... Googling the heavy metal birthday song from Death Clock.
Okay, I need a link.
You need a link. That's
I do.
That's it's pretty cool.
I'm gonna watch like 10 seconds of this and just get the gist because me listening to YouTube, it's probably not what people had in mind.
I think you have to skip, like, in the middle of it or something.
Oh, you go to Wadsworth. Okay, yeah, hang on. I can do that. Wadsworth Constance are one of the fundamentals of the internet. Well, this is disturbing. Oh, my God. All right, I get the gist. I'm going to stop this now. Wow, there are no words.
So that one popped up quite a lot to my, I guess, heavy metal friends. And this is another one, which is a bit more, I guess, cuter. And it's this Russian traditional song.
And this you give to your communist friends, or...?
Well, to my Russian studies friends.
Hmm. This is kind of interestingly salient. We've been watching The Americans at home on Netflix, which is pretty great. It's called The Song of the Crocodile something, and that Genie? Genius? Yeah. Crocodile Genius?
I don't know. But...
Gena. Oh, that's the name, okay.
I don't fully know about the birthday connection here, but allegedly it's sort of a birthday song.
Wow, yeah. Cute. That's fun. Highly recommend The Americans, by the way. Like, it's not absolutely the best piece of TV on TV, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah. How far in are you?
I just started season two. You?
I dropped off in season two.
Oh, really?
But,
It stopped being interesting?
Too much focus on the sort of the romantic drama, I think.
I
expected more hijinks.
Espionage.
Political stuff, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm losing my voice now, so you have to talk the rest of the episode.
Okay. Well, we left a cliffhanger hanging. As cliffhangers hang. So I wonder if we should pick that up.
We did.
We left a little bit. You're like, what? What? Who? Yeah. So we found a house that we thought we might be interested in buying.
I forgot about that. that was last week.
That was ages ago, man.
That was last week. That is this week.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time it comes out, which will be, I guess, late tonight or tomorrow, it will be this week. But then this will be next week. So it's still last week.
This could be next week.
Sure.
Yeah.
In Australia, it's probably next week already. I don't even know.
Yeah. Did the cliff fall down on the house?
Well, I want to tell you a story. Because this was a kind of interesting, small differences-ish kind of experience, generally.
I'm
intrigued. So while you try and drink some coffee and get your voice back, I didn't even get into last time, right, the whole thing about how to describe, right, the standard of interior decorating in the UK, like, seriously, versus Scandinavia. I can't even. So to like give this a little bit of context, if you look on real estate agent sites in the UK and you look at people's houses and you browse a few, a lot of them, you know, the nicer ones have been done up really nicely, like someone's gone around and prepared it and made it look cute. Others are just total chaos. And the level of total chaos that you see in the UK is way, way, way higher than it is in Scandinavia. Like, regardless of the asking price of the house in Scandinavia, it's almost certain that someone has gone around and tidied it up and made it look beautiful and taken all the crap out. Like, it doesn't matter if they're living there with, like, four children under six, you know, like, they've still gone and they've taken all the toys away. And all that remains is some kind of beautiful, you know, like, daisies painted on a wall and, like, one or two toys sort of stylistically arranged and all of this. And we did the trawl around our colleagues' houses a couple of weeks ago. And my colleagues can decorate. I became slightly intimidated by, like, the standard to which they had decorated their houses. And even if they had gone around before and tidied everything and made it look just so because people were coming, they were still amazingly decorated. Like, you know, there's no getting away from that. And so that was kind of cute and lovely, but also frightening, because I'm like, well, now we can never, like, invite my colleagues to our house because, like, we just can't cut it here in the kind of decor front. And then you go around to people's houses who are actually selling them. You go to viewings. And again, they've just stripped everything out. You know, they have a nice chest of drawers here, and they have this here, and they have plants everywhere, and everything is green and fresh and beautiful. There is no trace of anyone actually living there. It's much, much too clean and tidy. But it looks beautiful. You can kind of, you know, it's like the equivalent of having white walls. You can imagine yourself living there. You can project your own sort of version of it on. So we did that a couple of times, and the second place we really, really liked. Really liked. And it has the world's best view. Really, really good view out over the fjord. Like, you're basically looking at that and going, right, we're buying this house. Because the view is so nice. And so we decided to bid on it, but we had to wait. The viewing's on the Sunday, but there's another viewing on the Monday night. This is what the real estate agents do here. This is one difference. In the UK, you say, I want to view this house. and you ring up, like you contact the estate agent and say, I want to view this property. And they go, when would you like to see it? And you say, I would like to see it on Thursday night at 6 o'clock or whatever. And that's what happens. And you hope that no one will try and get in before you. Like someone could ring them and say, I want to see it on Tuesday. And if they make an offer after that, you know, you never get the house. But this is different. This is very prescribed. So the listing is up on Finn. And you see, if you want to view this house, you can come on Saturday, Sunday, 1 till 2, or Monday at like 5 p.m. And that's it. If you can't make those showings, that screw you, basically. If the house is popular, it's going to go after those two viewings. But if you see it on a Sunday, you can't put in a bid because there's another viewing. And no one can bid until the other viewing is done and until, like, there's a kind of a deadline. So the Monday viewing was, like, 5 till 6 or something, I don't know. And then you have to put a bid in the following day before 12 o'clock. So it's really prescriptive. Like, the schedule is basically defined by the whole kind of realty industry / Finn / you know, whoever is kind of running the whole show here. So you have to be kind of around. And I had a meeting at a client meeting 9 till 11 the following morning. And so I was literally walking back from the client meeting trying to put a bid in. But the first time you make a bid, you have to kind of fill out a proper form. So I'm filling out this form on my mobile phone, walking down the platform to the underground train, trying not to slip because it's wet. And I'm like a bit stressed because I have to enter several pieces of information. I want to get it all done and I want to make sure it's all gone in before 12 o'clock because we really like this flat. And then, you know, you send it and nothing really happens and you wait and you've made an initial bid at this point, right? And because you've made a bid, the real estate agent needs to inform all the other people who put their name on the list, because when you go to the viewing, you write your name on the list and say, I'm interested. So now everyone else has got a message that we have bid on this property with like 40 minutes to go or whatever. And apparently it's a good sign. 40 minutes to go, that we hadn't got a text saying someone else has bid. Because it means maybe no one else has bid and maybe we're the only people interested. But no, like before 12 o'clock, the messages start coming. And everything from this point on goes by SMS, which is fascinating. Like the last time I bought a house was like 15 years ago, right? So it was very different. In the UK, if you want to bid, you get in touch with the real estate agent and say, I would like to buy it for this much. And they go back to the owner and the owner comes back and says yes or no. And maybe you go back and forth a bit. And that can take several days. No, not in Norway, right? Because in Norway, everything happens in the space of a few hours by SMS. So we went in on this property at 10% under the asking price. Because we thought, we'll start low, but not insultingly low. But, you know, like, you don't have to bid the asking price. You can go lower. And the bathroom probably needs some work. It's fine. It's just not, like, hugely modern. So we're like, well, we'll start a little bit under. And then it all kicked off. And I had an afternoon where I had meetings and things to do, but it was basically punctuated by SMS alerts going, so-and-so has raised the bid by, 10,000 kroner or whatever. 16 rounds of SMSs, we would bid, they would bid, someone else would bid, and this went around and around until it was just us and one other party over the course of about 3-4 hours, until it was 10% over the asking price. They clearly really wanted it, we really wanted it.
Now you're going into game show mode, right?
Right, a little bit. But some things are happening, like as we're getting the prices going up and up. We've got a theoretical maximum. We've agreed, right, that like we're not going over this amount because that would make the monthly payments too much and we don't want to be overstretched. Like we want the possibility that for whatever reason one of us loses our job and the other one can still pay the mortgage. Like that seems quite important. You know, like not that I'm expecting anything awful to happen, but like, you know, what if?
You know that you are in Norway.
And
you don't simply lose your job.
Well, what if?
Famous last words.
Yeah, let's not push that.
Well,
you know, like for whatever reason, like you just, you want that little, you want that assurance, right? So we're getting near our maximum, but my husband had a moment of brilliance before we went to ask for a mortgage. And said, right, everyone's going to pick a round number to bid to. Everyone's going to stop at the round number. They're going to have like their own theoretical ceiling on this thing. let's make sure that we can go over a round number. Let's pick a number that's a bit over that. So if someone else stops at the round number, we can keep going a little bit more. So we made sure that, like, we had the permission to kind of, we had enough money and we had enough mortgage agreement to kind of go a step over or a couple of steps over.
Are you saying that you could go to 11?
Basically, we could go up to 11 where they would stop at 10.
Yeah. One more.
Right. But that's exactly what we did, and they stopped. They stopped at the round number. And so I got a call from the estate agent basically saying, so the other party doesn't want to go any higher, so it's yours. Because this is binding, is the other thing. Like, from the moment you send in your first written bid, if they say yes, that's it, that's yours, you're in. So he called back and said, well, you got it. And we were like, oh, okay. We just bought a house from, like, not having really basically discussed it, not having even seen this property, a few days ago. Now we've bought a house. Okay. So that went quickly on the second viewing.
So I guess a congratulations is due.
Thanks.
This is great. Yeah, you just obligated yourself to paying a lot of money over a long stretch of time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the sobering part.
With a beautiful view.
It is amazing. I'll send you a picture after. Yeah. It's kind of interesting, right? It's a shared house. Like, the house has been, it used to be it's a big house from the 1800s, but it, at some point, maybe 100 and something years ago, got split into apartments. So it's one of four apartments. So the inside is quite modern, but the outside is pretty old and wooden. Be my first time living in a wooden house. I'll be also my first time living in a house shared with very few other people. Like, I've generally lived in kind of apartments, like, since I left home, and you don't really know the other people, and there's a kind of nice anonymity. It's a little bit like living in a hotel where you're kind of not obligated to get in each other's faces, but now we're going to be living with three other families, and presumably, like, we have to have, you know, like, meetings to decide, like, you know, I don't know, the roof needs repairing, you know, what we can do about it, that kind of thing. So I'm about to get thrown into some very, very Norwegian experiences.
Yeah, this is good for a podcast. Because I suspect you are now in what we could call, and I will pick this as my word of the week, borettslag.
Yeah.
Ish, perhaps. It can be some other forms of legal.
Sameier.
Sameierfellesskap, perhaps.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, because there are some different ways in which people can sort of share the costs and stuff that goes into keeping a house,
right,
with several apartments. But either way, you are probably due for some dugnad and meetings.
Yes.
And perhaps you will end up as someone with responsibility.
Oh, God, I hate responsibility.
Because you strike me as one of those persons.
Really?
Well, that ends up with sort of what we in Norway call a verv. Yeah, I guess I can be the secretary, or yes, I guess I can be the whatever.
So I did some committee work as a student in, like, the kind of clubs and society sphere, and it taught me that I'm really not that interested in that kind of thing. But also, like, the self-selection of people onto committees often means that, like, if it's the kind of thing where people put themselves forward, it often means that people who just want to bang on about thing X for days, like, whatever their axe is to grind, and that you can't do this with this. Like, there is actually a point, if you live in a shared building, like, there is a point to it. And when it's only for households, then, you know, that's a little bit different. Like, everyone is in it. Everyone has skin in the game. Whereas other committees, sometimes it's like people who just care about that thing a lot.
Yeah, I guess there are two dynamics there, because you have the kind of committees where you have a person that hungers for power and so on. But you also have the committee where people generally don't want responsibility.
Oh, that would be me. Can I join that committee? Except I don't want to, because I don't really want the responsibility of the committee.
Yeah, because then you have the people that don't want the responsibility, but cannot stand that no one else takes it.
Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah, and I guess you can blame me for drawing you as a Hermione person again, but I would place my bets.
Why? Well, there does come a point where it's like someone should do something, but, you know, I think what I'll do is we'll just get in, we'll figure out the lay of the land. We'll figure out... it's entirely possible they need nothing at all from us but our, you know, 1,000 kroner a month or whatever, so... But they take it in turns. Everyone goes around to whoever's house it is, and they take it in turns to have meetings there. So, right, when you buy a house in Norway, it's really different generally, like leaving aside the whole bidding process and stuff. It's super different from buying it in the UK. In the UK, you never meet the seller. It's entirely possible to buy a property without ever meeting the seller. What happened to us was we went... In fact, you can never meet the real estate agent either. You just do everything on the phone or on the internet. And here, we met them at the showing. We met the realtor at the showing. Not the owner. It would be weird if the owner was there, I think. But then we were basically invited to coffee and kind of signing all the documents at the realtor's office. And, of course, the sellers come as well. And we all sit around the table and we chat with each other. And then everyone signs everything in the presence of each other. And drink coffee and make small talk and ask, you know, like, oh, they've bought somewhere, where are they going? Very, very different experience. And we're also sitting in this old wooden house, which is the office for the realtor, and we're sitting in what used to be someone's living room around this dining table, basically. It was charming. It was very, very different, really different. Oh, yeah, and it led to a whole bunch of other work. Obviously, like, you've got all the paperwork to do, which is, like, relatively straightforward, although I guess I'm now better at reading contracts in Norwegian than I was. But then you've got to break up with your landlord, right?
Which generally is a fine thing to do, except if your landlord is a little girl. Deep cut.
Wait, what? What just happened?
I guess we have to take a moment for yet another video. My apologies to our listeners, but...
it's in the show notes.
This is an education, as you can say.
Because of privacy settings, the video cannot be played here. I'm going to Vimeo.
Damn it, Vimeo.
Well, that's all right. They have standards. I respect that.
Hey, did you get that letter from the doctor yet?
I did.
What did it say?
My dad's gay.
I knew it. There's a blood test.
No, this is... Is it? Yeah, it's the right one. Yeah.
Okay.
I can give you half.
Okay. Wow.
This was like an epic meme a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I missed it totally. Funny. All right. Yeah, no, our landlord and landlady are super nice. It was the last thing in the world we wanted to do was like sort of write them a Dear John letter and write, oh, I'm really sorry, like, I know, you know, you're quite happy to have us here for a long time and blah, blah, blah. But it just, we found so it's not you, it's us, you know. And so that was a bit sad to do because they're super nice. But of course, they're also really organized. And they're like, right, we need to get this place on Finn so that someone can come and rent it from you guys when you move out. Of course, we're flexible about, you know, end dates, blah, 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 because we can move earlier than the notice period requires. So they were like, right, could you just take some photos of the flat and we'll put it up, you know, this week and we'll try and get someone in. But you don't just, you know, one does not merely take photographs of a flat, right? So now it's this whole genuinely epic quest to, like, right, we have to make this look nice. We have to tidy. It's not untidy, but it's, you know, it's like people are living here. And you have to take it back to that perfect Scandinavian standard, right, where there is almost nothing in the shot. There is almost no furniture or anything in the room. You've got a few plants here and there. Everything is just so... So we spent a very large chunk of yesterday basically styling the house into this imaginary world that we do not in any sense live in, where everything is beautiful and we have almost no furniture or anything else, no possessions. It's very John Lennon. And so, like, it was fun for a couple of hours, and then my husband started getting a little bit tired of it. And it's just like, yeah, but we have to finish. Like, we've got to do the whole house. So that was like another kind of unforeseen piece of work, to make the house look like no one is living there, but also simultaneously beautiful and as though you could live there. It never looks as good while we're actually living there.
You wanted to be as close to the platonic idea of an apartment as possible.
Right, right. So we did the thing that people do when they're photographing apartments, which is we took the television out.
Good trick.
Which is also partly a good trick because our TV is huge. Sorry, that's not like a humble brag or anything. But like the sofa is huge and the TV is huge. And they can, if you don't put objects into scale, it can easily look like the TV is tiny and the sofa is tiny and the room is really tiny. So we leave the sofa in, but then you have to put like magazines and a cup or something in there to kind of give it a bit of scale so people understand, no, this is a really long sofa.
Or you could just use a banana.
Yes, banana for scale, yes. We should have done that. Oh, man, missed opportunity.
Well, or perhaps better, a lime. Lime seems to be the...
Is that the new banana?
Yeah, or at least for apartment stuff.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Oh, darn it. I guess we could have also indicated it was warm by having a guitar. I did think about putting my violin out, actually, but then I thought, oh, don't make it weird. Anyway. So, yeah. And now we're on this kind of roller coaster of, like, getting all the ducks to line up in a row so that we can move.
Yeah. And you have to get boxes. Did you know? Perhaps it's the same thing in the UK. But you can go to a grocery store or something. And you can ask for banana boxes.
That's very specific.
Yeah. And people do this when they have to move. And if they have them, they will give it to you.
Mm.
For free.
Exactly. Exactly the same in the UK, but it's not that specific. But boxes and kind of little wooden crates and stuff like that. Mostly for students, but generally, if you go to a big supermarket, they often have them and they will give them to you for free. So, yeah. But not specifically banana boxes, interestingly. Is it just that banana boxes are of very good shape, or...?
Because they come in these two parts, so you have a sort of... You can lock them together, sort of, to... So it's like two boxes that you can merge together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they are generally sort of robust.
Hmm. I'm ashamed to say we might actually get people to pack, and we certainly will get people to move us. We've got tons of furniture and, like, no vehicle. But actually, the last couple of times we've moved... It's been extremely cost-effective to have the people who were moving us also pack because they're really good at it. So they come in and they just box everything up in, like, no time at all. And they wrap it really well. So, like, all your china and stuff, they wrap in paper and they do a really good job. And then you unbox it at the other end. And I recognise that this is sort of very fancy to have other people pack and move for you, but it turned out to be surprisingly affordable on top of the moving costs. And it saved us so much time. Otherwise, you spend, like, the week before putting things in boxes, and then you're just tired and sad.
Have you seen this kind of Japanese apartment packing videos?
No, but that's I need to.
Well,
this is so my kind of...
Should you? It sets some high standards.
I'm cool with that. I think this is a thing I would enjoy. I actually really like packing because I like Tetris. And packing is basically Tetris. So I view it as a challenge.
Does that mean if you sort of manage to align the items perfectly...
They disappear and magically reappear in the new house. That would be cool. Yeah, if there are videos, I want the link to the Japanese packing videos. That's basically my sweet spot. Aesthetically, functionally, that sounds like it has it all.
Hmm. Yeah, so, well, this is exciting.
Yeah, and or terrifying.
Ah, isn't every day people buy and sell apartments and houses.
Yeah, feels like a lot of money.
Yeah, I know, but you'll get used to it.
I'm crushing debt. Yay!
This is more than living.
Yeah, this is like a nice problem to have, honestly. Yeah, no, we're very lucky. We feel incredibly fortunate. And we're also extremely lucky to be able to like buy something so quickly. A lot of people spend a lot of time competing and going through bidding rounds and dropping out and not being able to compete. And we're lucky that we're buying like a little bit maybe over the kind of the bottom of the market. So there's less competition, I guess.
And now you'll sort of have your own space where you actually can do stuff.
Yes. Not that it needs huge amounts, but yeah.
Do you have plans, or is this so sort of new and fresh that you haven't thought about it yet?
Most of it doesn't need anything. The bathroom is not to our taste at all and not optimally used. So the bathroom can definitely be improved. But I think that'll be a project for another year.
Hmm.
We'll save up some pennies to do something with that. That said, I will take recommendations for tile paint as a short-term solution. We can't redo the tiling straight away, but there are some tiles that I don't agree with that need to be a different color.
Tiles where?
In the bathroom, on the floor and on the walls. I've seen it painted before. Like, I know you can kind of paint over this stuff as a temporary measure.
Can people send in their recommendations for
well, we have a contact form. We have a contact form. I'm going to ask our colleagues. We have a very handy Slack channel for these sorts of recommendations. But if you go to smalldifferences.farside.fm, you can use the contact form to tell me about how to paint tiles. Or, you know, just whatever, say hello. Yeah, it's cool. It's exciting. It's slightly terrifying. As previously, my parents have also chosen exactly pretty much the time that we're moving to come and visit. So when we first moved here and we got our furniture finally delivered from the UK, they came like a few days later, and exactly the same is happening with our moving date here, is that it just happened to be coming. So, but they're very sort of box-tolerant people, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Are there box-intolerant people?
No doubt. These days, you know, like it's you've got to cater for the you know, box tolerant, box intolerance, people who don't like crates, people who are, you know, like allergic to crates.
Which floor is your sort of house apartment thing?
Normally the second floor, which would be the first floor in the UK. So not the not the ground level, but the one up from there. Because it's untight.
Thanks. And there will be some lifting then.
Yes, but again, with the getting movers, my biggest questions are actually like whether they're going to have to reduce the furniture that we have down to its smallest component parts, like down to the atomic level, in order to get it up the stairs and through the door and into the flat. Because it being quite an old building, the doorways are not very wide, and there's also sort of wooden staircase.
Do you have a balcony?
Yes, with an amazing view.
And will you get a grill?
We talked about it. The flat next door has a balcony right next to ours, and it might be extremely antisocial, but also the prevailing wind would blow all of the smoke back into the flat from the balcony. So if we get a grill, we might put it in the garden. There's a garden for the house. So it might be
so
that there's something
you
there.
You also have a garden now.
Yeah, it's a shared garden.
It's in the garden.
Yeah, it's cool.
You can play football.
I want to grow tomatoes.
Outside?
Yeah. Well, you start them indoors and then you take them outside in like April, May when it stopped, you know, being cold overnight. I have plans. But I want to see like what the rules are about the garden, because for the moment it's mostly just grass. So I don't want to upset anyone.
With your tomatoes.
They can have some. This is how it works.
Are there kids in this house?
Don't know yet. Didn't meet any of the other families. Entirely possible. It's a very kid-friendly area. Don't know. We'll find out. Hopefully not upstairs. Hopefully not like being woken at sort of 6 a.m. by the kind of doom, 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 elephant children, which happens where my dad lives.
elephant children.
Yeah.
Well, aren't you up early anyway?
Yeah, but not like on a weekend so much. We'll see.
Right. Cool. I think we have to climb up on the follow-up mountain.
We should do that.
Is small.
Good, good, because I have a meeting that I need to get to at some point. What is in the follow-up mountain? Right, done that. Yep. Take yours.
So I told you guys about the summer trip, the mountain journey I took this summer. And our freaking NRK, the Norwegian broadcast company, they're still doing this slow TV concept everywhere. And they have walked this sort of the same kind, some sort of the same trip with a different starting point, I guess. But they walked Besseggen and filmed it minute for minute.
Mm. Again, so, we were here first.
Yeah.
We set the trends here.
We did. And I guess the video is available for everyone.
Right. They were live streaming it on Friday, but I had a workshop like half the day Friday, so I didn't get to watch it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think it's a slightly abbreviated version on the TV now.
Right. It says nine hours, 20 minutes.
I think it's perhaps 9 minutes. Or no, it's 9 hours.
Oh, yeah, 8:30 when I start playing it. It's beautiful.
So, yeah. And you can skip the parts you don't like. I couldn't. it wasn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But now you can.
Yeah. I can relive it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Go check it out.
That's so cool. I love Norway's commitment to slow TV. It's just really, it's great. Okay, last item, quickly. Norwegians and hugging at work. I have been hugged at work before in the UK, usually by people who I'd worked with for a while. You know, like when someone leaves, you know, there's often hugging. Generally not on most other occasions. I have been hugged several times by colleagues or even by clients at this point after less than a year working in Norway. And I just wanted to mention this because I thought it flies in the face of, oh, Norwegians are very cold and, you know, blah, 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 and the kind of stereotype about how they're sort of quite reserved. Like one of the hugs that I got randomly was from someone who works actually at a competitor organisation, but who I work with. We have a mutual client. And the only reason that she gave me a hug was that we were both back from the summer holidays.
Have you heard the saying, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer?
You think that's what that's about? No, she's just lovely. Yeah. We enjoy working together. I just thought it was really interesting. I think it's charming. And like when people wish each other a good summer here, you know, like sometimes there's hugging. Like, all that's happening is that people are going on holiday for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they come back, and sometimes there's more hugging. It's really nice. This is maybe different for men. Like, this is a lot of girl hugging going on.
I guess. It's hard to say. I'm not even consistent. I will very seldom initiate a hug, I think.
Yeah, same here. British.
But I struggle to find any sort of pattern, actually.
Okay.
I think it's more on the line of extroversion or perhaps how you are brought up. Because you have families that are huggers.
Yes. I wasn't raised in a very huggy family.
Yeah.
My parents love me and everything. Like, let's get that straight. But it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't kind of how we were. That said, totally trivial reason for hugging in the office. Two of our developers rocked up at work wearing similar outfits, last week.
Similar outfits.
No, well, wait. So the conversation went something like, they're both wearing kind of basically the same trousers and very, very similar shoes. And one of them said to the other, oh, you know, like nice trousers or whatever. It's too bad you don't have like this T-shirt, which was a Star Wars T-shirt. Other developer takes off shirt to reveal the Star Wars T-shirt.
What is the chance?
I know, right? Developers wearing Star Wars T-shirts. But they did look exactly identical. And so, like, you know, cue like man-hugging and stuff like that. But I thought that was really charming.
And then the one mentioned that he used tabs instead of spaces.
Oh, and it was all over. Yeah, well, at that point, there's more that divides than unites us, obviously. But yeah, I thought that was cute.
Yeah. Yeah, we have the concept of twins in our firm.
Yeah.
And that's when people show up to work with the same outfit.
Which happens quite often. Yeah. I assume more in Oslo by virtue of there being more of us in the office here. But I've seen it happen in Bergen also.
Yeah, and we should be better at identifying twins across the offices.
How do we do that? Is the iPad working again? There was this iPad portal that linked both offices.
Perhaps we should fix that.
Oh, we should definitely fix it. Where's the problem?
I think we have to open an app and update iOS and log into the App Store and yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And find a reliable video conferencing solution.
Oh, well, it's never going to happen then, is it?
Because the Perch one, they was bought and had to close or something.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, we need to fix that because I thought that was really nice to just be able to wave at people in Bergen and vice versa.
I guess that was the closing statement.
I guess. Waving at people in Bergen.
Yeah. Right. We have mentioned the website. And I feel we should sort of say something. Or should we ask for people to go into iTunes and do the stuff?
Or yeah, do that.
Mention us on the train or something.
Whoa.
Have you heard small differences?
We're talking to strangers on the train, steady.
Yeah, but if you have learned something about something during these 30 or something episodes, you should be able to talk with strangers on trains.
Well, you have a source of interesting factoids. I'm not sure it makes you, as a Norwegian or a Brit, any more likely to actually strike up a conversation with strangers.
You can start off, have you heard the word of the week? No, I haven't.
Do we have a word of the week?
I chose borettslag.
Oh, nice.
Which is the sort of legal community of a shared house with several apartments and the following obligation of participating in a dugnad.
Right. It's like a kind of management committee, right? But
yeah.
Is everyone, like even in a huge block of flats, is everyone by default included? Or is it only...
Yeah, because something happens when you buy it, so you... Mm.
You're buying a share of the responsibility, right?
Yeah, and the sort of debt.
Mm.
Because the house can have a separate loan, right?
Mm.
Which is also a kind of a huge thing in the house buying or apartment buying thing.
Right.
Because you can look up and, oh, this is a cheap apartment. And then you see the shared debt, which can be high. So your monthly cost is actually rather high. But people can sort of hide that fact.
Hmm.
Ish. Yeah. So, yeah. Anywho, that was my word of the week. Is it irritating that I say anywho? Because that's not really a word, or...
Well, it's like an American sitcom word.
Yeah.
I am just thinking about my word of the week. I have so many. I like rampata. It came up again this week, which is rude, uncouth, ill-mannered, or badly behaved, according to my dictionary app. But I like the way it sounds. I guess raucous or unruly would be good words.
But it also have a flair of charm to it.
Right, it's a little bit kind of riotous, right? Yeah. It's a little bit kind of, yeah. We don't mind, like, if someone described you as arampata, I get the impression you might be a little bit pleased.
And the arampa is also this kind of, it can be a sort of the skateboard half pipe thing.
Right.
And also, what do you use for wheelchairs instead of stairs?
Right, a ramp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so the cheese half pipe would be in Osterrampe.
Yeah.
Hmm. Nice. I have to go to work.
Yeah. Did this episode have enough substance for you?
Oh, very good. I thought so. You?
Yeah, lots of substance.
Well, you would say that, whatever.
But my standards aren't as high as your standards, so don't listen to me. Ha det bra, takk for at du hørte på.
Takk for at jeg hørte på. Ha det bra.